All right, I've been sitting with this question for a while now. What actually makes humans wicked? Not just aggressive, not just competitive, but genuinely, deliberately cruel in a way nothing else in nature seems to be.
That's the thing that keeps pulling me back too. Because if we're honest, every other predator on the planet kills out of necessity. A lion doesn't torture its prey for sport. There's no malice in it. But humans? That's a different category entirely.
So where does that line get drawn? Between biological aggression and what we'd call wickedness?
The key idea is intentionality. A study published in the journal Nature found that lethal violence is actually part of mammalian evolution broadly. It's not unique to us, but humans historically developed levels of interpersonal violence significantly higher than the average mammal. And more importantly, we developed the capacity to plan it, to enjoy it, to justify it with ideology.
So not just more violence, but organized, premeditated, meaning-laden violence.
Exactly. Think of ancient civilizations. Archaeological evidence shows that as they grew in complexity and intelligence, they didn't just become more peaceful. They developed more sophisticated methods of organized warfare and human sacrifice. Greater intelligence didn't eliminate cruelty, it industrialized it.
That's a disturbing pattern, and it connects to something Jung was wrestling with his whole career, the shadow.
Right. Jung defined the shadow as the hidden, unconscious part of the personality. It holds the repressed weaknesses, the dark desires, the parts of ourselves we refuse to look at. And his warning was stark. Ignoring the shadow doesn't neutralize it. It makes it more dangerous.
So the more civilized we pretend to be on the surface,
the more pressure builds underneath. Jung saw this in how entire societies project their shadow outward, onto other nations, other races, other groups. The Holocaust wasn't carried out by monsters. It was carried out by people who had successfully hidden their shadow behind ideology and bureaucracy.
That's chilling. And it raises a question someone listening to this might be sitting with. If this darkness is in all of us, is it natural? Are we just built this way?
That's where the theological dimension becomes impossible to ignore. In LDS scripture, Mosiah 3:19 describes the natural man as an enemy to God, a being dominated by carnal desires, by the fallen, physical state of existence. The natural man isn't a metaphor. It's a doctrinal claim about what we are without deliberate spiritual effort.
So both Jung and that theological framework are pointing at the same thing from different angles. There's something in our baseline nature that pulls toward darkness.
And neither framework says it's inevitable. That's the critical distinction. Jung believed the shadow could be integrated, not destroyed, but acknowledged and brought into conscious relationship. The LDS framework says the natural man can be put off through the atonement and conscious choice. Both require agency.
Wait, agency is actually the hinge point here, isn't it? Because without the genuine freedom to choose evil, the choice for good means nothing.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets philosophically uncomfortable. Agency is the prerequisite for both the greatest good and the most horrific evil. You cannot have one without the other. A being incapable of rape or murder is also incapable of genuine love or sacrifice.
So the capacity for wickedness isn't a design flaw. It's structurally inseparable from the capacity for moral greatness.
That's the argument. And for our listener who comes from an LDS background, think about the pre-mortal framework. The doctrine holds that we existed as intelligences before this life, that spiritual creation preceded physical creation. The veil wasn't an accident. Entering mortality meant entering a state where the natural man could take hold. That was the point.
Which makes the question even harder. If a divine creator designed a system where children can be abducted, where women can be violated, and the answer is agency, does that answer actually satisfy?
No. And I think that's the honest place to land right now. The philosophical framework holds together logically, but logic doesn't absorb grief. That gap, between the coherent argument and the unbearable reality, is exactly where we need to go next.
The takeaway from this first conversation, then, is that human wickedness isn't simply animal aggression scaled up. It's something qualitatively different, shaped by consciousness, by the shadow, by the fallen natural man, and made possible by the same agency that makes us capable of anything worth calling good.
And in our next session, we move from the nature of that wickedness to the hardest question of all. Where is God when the worst of it happens? Why does a divine creator permit the suffering of the innocent? That's the ground we're walking into.